Today's scripture comes from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds will be done in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Anybody hungry? The scripture that, what's his name? Ray. Oh, what's his name? Ray read for us. Includes one of the most beloved scriptures in the Bible, and that is, of course, John 3:16. You know John 3:16, don't you? You've probably seen it on one of these things, like a t-shirt or Tim Tebow's eye black. Maybe on a t-shirt that you have or in the grandstands. This guy with the colored hair always seems to show up at a pro sporting event sometime. Max Lucado, a Christian writer, contemporary Christian writer, says John 3:16 is an alphabet of grace. He calls it an alphabet of grace. He also calls it the table of contents of Christian hope. And also he calls it a safety deposit box, that is, of jewels. This is one of the most beloved scriptures in all of Scripture. But if this verse is so meaningful to us and so dear to us, why are we finding it on, of all things, shopping bags, drink cups, and burger wrappers? Let me explain. Has anybody ever heard of In-N-Out Burgers on the West Coast? Probably the best burger on the West Coast. I like to think that Five Guys has the best burgers on the right coast. Excuse me, not the left coast. So, no, In-N-Out Burgers. In-N-Out Burgers is a chain in California, Nevada, and Texas, hoping someday they'll come east. But they never put up a store more than 100 miles from their distribution centers. So it's growing. For example, on the French fry burger wrapper, down at the bottom there, it has the quote, Nahum, which is a prophet, a minor prophet, 1:7, and it says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble. He protects those who take refuge in him." See it down there on the corner? I've got it highlighted. On every drink cup is John 3:16. Can you see it? I'm standing in the way. I know. They put John 3:16 on the drink cups. Yeah. There's a teenage clothing store called Forever 21. Anybody ever heard of Forever 21? Yeah, you girls with ladies and kids go to Forever 21. Did you know that in the bottom of every shopping bag is a scripture verse? Did you know that? John 3:16 on the bottom of the bag. Why do businesses put scripture verses on their products, especially on the throwaway wrappers? You ever wonder about that? Is this going to make a difference in anybody's life? Is this going to lead someone to Jesus Christ? Is this going to help someone hear the Spirit's call upon their lives? Maybe. Maybe not. Chances are it's probably going to get tossed in the trash or the recycle bin. This may be In-N-Out evangelism, if you'll excuse the phrase, to use the In-N-Out burger analogy. In-N-Out burgers, of course, it's a drive-through thing, so it's come and go quickly. It may be considered In-N-Out evangelism, but something more is needed to make what I'd like to call all-in Christians. Not in and out Christians, but all in Christians. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Are you an in and out Christian or an all in Christian? Hearing and seeing the Word of God is good. It's great, but it is not enough. Paul, in James chapter 1, in the letter to James, says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Be doers of the word. Doers like Tim Tebow and Forever 21 and In-N-Out Burgers, and I might add to that list Chick-fil-A, do something, but it's just not enough. Having scripture written on paper wrappers and being closed on Sunday like Chick-fil-A is okay and it's great, but it's not enough. Something more is needed to be an all-in Christian. I'd like to list three things for you. So if you're taking notes, you got room on the back of your bulletin, you might want to jot these three things down. What does it take to be an all-in Christian? Well, first of all-in Christians understand sacrifice. They understand sacrifice and living sacrificially. Now, the scripture that Ray read for us this morning is part of a longer conversation that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler in the Jewish council. He was a very important man of good standing, and he came to see Jesus. Guess when he came to see him? After dark. After dark, when no one could see him talking to this upstart rabbi, this so-called self-proclaimed Messiah who was causing all this trouble. But Nicodemus had questions for Jesus. This ruling councilman, this Pharisee of Pharisees, had a question or two for Jesus. He says, "We know that you are a teacher of the law. We know that you are sent by God even." But Jesus says to Nicodemus, knowing Nicodemus' heart, he says, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. That is to be born of water and the Spirit. Jesus was talking about being born again. And Nicodemus was thinking, how can a grown person get back in their mother's womb to be reborn? He was thinking physically, thinking earthly, and not spiritually. Jesus tells him these things, and Nicodemus says, how can these things be? He just didn't get it. And Jesus goes on to say, just as Moses lifted up the serpent on a pole, the Son of Man must also be lifted up. Now, what in the world was Jesus talking about? If you go to, I believe it's Exodus 7, if I'm not mistaken, Exodus 20, I'm not sure. Forgive me. The people complained and murmured and grumped and complained because they had no food and no water, and they grumbled and they mumbled and they murmured. And God sent poisonous snakes to be among them. And when they grumbled and complained, the poisonous snakes bit them. Then they really complained. They said, "Take these snakes away, Moses!" And so God hears the people's cry, and he has mercy on them. And he tells Moses to put a serpent on a pole and lift it up. And anyone who looks at the pole with the serpent on it would be healed from the poisonous snake bite. By the way, those of you in the medical profession probably know this. The pole with the snake on it is the symbol for the medical profession. That's where that comes from. Jesus said, just as Moses raised the serpent on the pole for the people to be saved, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, must also be lifted up. What was Jesus talking about being lifted up? To be nailed to a cross. Wasn't the cross lifted up? Wasn't Jesus nailed to the cross so that all may be saved? Talk about the ultimate sacrifice here. Jesus was sacrificed for our sake. All in Christianity, all in faith means serious commitment. Did you hear the story of the farm animals all talking about the upcoming breakfast fundraiser for the farmer's church? The cow said she was going to donate milk. The chicken was pleased that she had been asked to donate eggs, but the pig thanked everyone for their donations, but made it perfectly clear that her gift would require serious commitment. She was providing the bacon and the sausage. The church needs a few more cows, fewer cows and chickens, and more pigs. Those with serious commitment. If Christians are called to live sacrificially, then what kinds of things might Jesus be asking us to sacrifice in order to be all-in Christians? Paul talks about living sacrifices. We're not talking about being killed like Jesus was killed on the cross, murdered on the cross, crucified on the cross. Paul is saying God wants living sacrifices.